This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Back to the show, hour number three, Bart Scott. What does that mean?
The power hour.
That's right. This is where we have the power guests. This is where we really get into it. We're 2 hours into the show, so we're loose and we're ready to fly. And who better to bring in right now in the power hour than one of the great captains of all time in any sport and one of the great players of all time in any sport, and that is Mark Messier, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Mark, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Oh, great to be on with you guys.
So I've got an advanced copy of your book, No One Wins Alone. And as I'm thumbing through it, we were just talking about this earlier. This is why I'm leading with this. But I love this part of it because it's how you tell the story about one of, you know, what we talk about, great guarantees in sports. And it's so funny how you didn't actually guarantee anything. You just said what you said about how we're going to win Game 6 in 1994 as you were facing elimination against the Devils in the conference finals. And all you said was going to go in there and we're going to win Game 6 and we're going to play a Game 7. And it became, of course, the We Will Win back page that, you know, became so iconic. But as you tell the story in the book, this is the great behind-the-scenes stuff that I love about the storytelling. As you said, Brian Leetch, who was a great defenseman on that team, Norris Trophy winner, sees you the next day before the game and he goes, "I guess we're going to win, huh?" Like it's just, in typical fashion.
In his deadpan way.
Exactly. But that's really, you know, what these things almost take on a life of their own. You know, the Joe Namath one, we often, you know, talk about as one as well, about how the Jets were going to win the Super Bowl and several others. But these are the types of things, though, in the moment, you're not thinking, like, I'm going to say something bold right now, right? Like, it just, these things take on a life of their own based on the moment.
Well, in order to win, the number one thing you have to have is belief. And all I wanted our team to know is that I believed that we could win. We had proven it all year through the Devils that we had beat them 6 times during the regular season. We found ourselves in a tough spot in a tough playoff series. We lost momentum. And we had, obviously, our backs up against the wall going into New Jersey for Game 6. And my sole purpose was just to make sure that everybody believed that we could go in there and win Game 6 in New Jersey. Of course, we had to play better. We weren't playing poorly. The Devils were playing great. And we had to figure out a way to raise our level of play and win a game on the road, which we had proven all year we could do. So, you know, at that particular point of the season, with the experience that I had of winning before, I knew we had the team to win. I knew we could beat New Jersey, and I knew we could beat anybody on the West who might come out of there. And very rarely do you get those opportunities to present themselves. And when they do present themselves, you have to do anything and everything in your power in order to make it happen. And I felt that, you know, we needed a little boost of confidence and to make sure that everybody believed that we could go in there and win Game 7, of which, of course, we ultimately did.
In overtime, too, in dramatic fashion. And Bart, by the way, after saying what he said, all Mark did was record a hat trick in that game. You talk about backing up your words.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. You talk about sometimes the youth is wasted on the young. And, you know, when you're trying to be a leader of a group and a group that hasn't, you know, had the success that you've had with your resume before, how important was it for you to kind of take the pressure off of them and put it on yourself? And how did it raise your level knowing that, you know, that narrative in your words were taken out of context?
I remember we had a team psychologist throughout the year, Cal Botterell, and he came up to me before one of the games, the big games, and he just said to me, "Sometimes you just got to lead by example." And that was one of those times where the leadership just had to lead by example, not only on the ice, but the way you prepared, your demeanor before the game, the confidence that you show, all the things, the body language, all the things that are important, and the cues that other players will take from you in those moments. But sometimes you got to put everything aside and just go out there and lead by example. And I think that, you know, we had enough leadership on the team that's what we did. And Richter was monster in that game. Without Richter, we don't win that game. We don't even get a chance to go into the third period and get back into the game. So Brian Leetch playing 30-plus minutes a night, you know, our role players chipping in. I mean, you know, that I think in those times, to your point, Bart, is the younger guys, that they need something to – comfort them, and especially when they're uncertain, when they haven't been there before. And we had some guys on our team that had never swam in the deep end at that point, and they needed to kind of be comforted that things were going to be okay.
We're talking with Mark Messier. He's now with ESPN. He's now with us, NHL
studio
analysts. And so we get his wisdom on the network on a regular basis. And again, as I was mentioning, the book, No One Wins Alone, is out now. And it's just a fascinating stories behind the scenes. And you talk about a hockey life. I mean, not only just winning all those Stanley Cups, the times in Edmonton, but just the story of just how hockey was in his blood from his dad and the relationship he had with his father and the impact he had all the way through to winning championships and becoming somebody that is considered one of the great leaders in sports. But with that in mind, this is where I want to go with you, Mark, and I hope you get where I'm going. Connor McDavid is an unbelievable talent in this sport. And that Oilers team is off to a great start this year. But as I remember from those, I grew up with those teams in the 80s with you, with the Oilers, Islanders dynasty. That was just such a great back and forth over the years, watching your Oilers team grow into what it became, their own dynasty. When you see that, you know, eventually Wayne had to move on and he goes to LA and it changed the league. You moved to New York. So now you're both in major markets changing the league until in the 90s where it was really at its height. Is there a time where you look at it and think, does Connor McDavid, is, you know, for the league, is it best to have a talent like that in Edmonton instead of in one of the, you know, the major cities? And we say that about a lot of athletes, well, so Mike Trout with the Angels for baseball, you know, so it's not just really only about hockey, but I ask it just to see your perspective from it.
Well, I think I can only speak from my own experience. And I think Wayne, the same thing when we got drafted and brought into Edmonton in the NHL, it was a dream come true to play in the National Hockey League. We weren't thinking about big market, small market back then. We understood we're an expansion team, and we could not have been more thrilled. Me personally could not have been more thrilled playing in Edmonton, my hometown, in the NHL. It was something storybooks are written about. So, you know, we didn't think about changing the game or anything like that. That came with time, obviously, with the great teams that we were able to put together and going on to win, you know, 5 Stanley Cups in 7 years. But, you know, when you're in it, you're not thinking about bigger markets, who's watching, ratings, all that kind of stuff. You're just thrilled that you're on a team that's competing for a Stanley Cup and winning the Stanley Cup. Obviously, when I turned 31 after spending 12 seasons with Edmonton, the team needed to be rebuilt. The great players that we had mostly moved on, and things changed. It was the right time for me. It was the right time for me professionally. It was the right time for me personally to tackle something different, something like coming to New York with a 51 or 54-year-old drought that it ended up being. So time will only tell where Connor goes. You know, he's got a lot of work to do in Edmonton before that conversation even takes place.
Yeah, well, they're off to a great start.
Now, I want to ask you about Ovi, right? Because it's very rare in few times where you talk about somebody who's picked number one overall, lives up to expectations. And I know he's always, especially early in his career, was always compared to Crosby because he was like the anti-Crosby. You know, he don't have the tooth. He's kind of grizzled.
It's a good rivalry, though.
Yeah, and you look up and, you know, just past 700. And listen, he's 34 years old. He's trying to chase the great one. But whether he catches the great one at 894, and, you know, I know that's not Gordie Howe to everybody out there. You know, people understand it's not Gordie Howe.
Mark, understand, Bart's from Detroit, and everything is Gordie Howe with him. Everything.
and Stevie Y, man. That's what
I love. The Red Wings.
Him and Stevie Y, that's where I grew up at. Yeah. But, you know, if Ovi doesn't, if he falls short of that, where would you rank him as far as the all-time greats to ever do it?
Well, even to be sitting here having a conversation that he has a chance to pass Wayne's all-time goal scoring list is incredible in itself. I think those numbers have been so astronomical and in rarefied air that what Alex has been able to do through his career is remarkable. The power that he plays with, the skill that he possesses, injury-free. Finally, after having knocking out the door in the playoffs and failing, figured out that he needed to change the way he played in the playoffs so the team would follow him into the fight in order to win a Stanley Cup, which to me speaks more loudly than what he's doing as a goal scoring record, that he was able to figure that he had to change himself in order to win be a champion. And he's done that. And he continues on to score goals. And he continues on to score goals from all different areas of the ice, even, you know, into his 34, 35 years old. Mm-hmm. And the thing that he possesses, which is going to give him a real shot if he can stay healthy, is that he has the ability to score from the outside because of his shot. And as he gets older and he starts to slow down a little bit more, just like Michael Jordan had to, you know, come up with a jump shot mm-hmm. later in his career from the outside, that 20-foot, 25-foot jump shot, he'll still be able to score from the outside, Alex, and it's going to give him a real chance of breaking Wayne's record if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, that's obviously the key part. He normally has played a lot of games, but the goals that he'd have to get to, he'd have to still play for a number of years. The great Mark Messier joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, part of our coverage, ESPN NHL, back with us here, and he is a studio analyst for us here at ESPN. With that in mind, so as you're watching the games closely this season, and we're just underway, give me a player that you watch that you're like, I like this guy. Like, is there one guy that really catches your eye? Is there maybe one or two that you just, I love watching this guy play? Give us somebody.
Well, I've always been a huge Sidney Crosby fan. So since the time he came into his league, he's obviously, you know, the open ice speed and dynamic rushes. But the thing I like about Sidney is that his game would have translated to any era. To me, he's one of the best cornermen in the league. He's got power down below. He plays in the rough, tough areas that you need to in order to be successful in big games. And in every big game that he's been in, whether it's been in the Olympics or it's been in the Stanley Cup Finals, he finds his way onto the goal, on the score sheet. Remarkably finds his way onto the score sheet. Mm-hmm. And he seems to play well in his biggest moments. He's been great off the ice. Patrick Kane, all the skill in the world, American-born player. Incredible what he's been able to accomplish in Chicago, and still looks great today, even though they're off to a bit of a tough start. Mm. But, you know, then you go to the younger generation, and how many great young players do we have in our game right now spread out through the entire league that are fun to watch? Like players that you're going to pay to go see, electrifying players that make you come out of your seat with the speed and the skill they possess, like McDavid, like McKinnon, like Matthews. I mean, these guys are Uber's incredibly talented players. For me, what's interesting now is to be able to watch these players and to see how they, like Ovechkin, mature in the process of trying to become a winner. Because, you know, as they say, you make your money during the regular season, but you make your name in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, when I came in the NHL, I was so thrilled to be in the NHL. Then I was trying to figure out, wow, now that I've made it, now how do I stay here? Once I got comfortable and I knew that I was going to stay in the NHL, then you start to think about, you know, wow, I can make some money at this game. But then after you make a little bit of money, you start thinking about, well, how are we going to win? Mm. And what do I need to do to be on the Stanley Cup winning team? And that's what the process for these young guys are going to go through. And it'll be interesting to see their journey through the maturation process that has to happen in order to become a champion or a Stanley Cup winner.
Yeah, that's always the measure of it at the end, right? And that's how that's why when you mentioned Sidney Crosby, one of the great winners in the game's history, and what he also, speaking of living up to all the expectations, a kid that came in the league with all those expectations as the next one, and he certainly has lived up to it. Mark, we could talk all day. I love talking hockey with you. Thanks so much for the time with us. All the best with the book. I'm enjoying it so far.
Yeah, appreciate the support, you guys, and looking forward to seeing you soon on the trail.
You got it. All right, again, the captain, Mark Messier. And when you say the captain, it's capital T, capital C. Yes. That's how you discuss somebody like that, not just in New York, just his history. That's one of those guys, just a name that you recognize in sports and one of the great leaders. And I love what he said, though, Bart, about that. I think that transcends all sports. You make your name when?
You make your name in the regular season. You make your fame in the postseason.
That's right, and you make your money that way as well in winning. And that transcends everywhere. He certainly did that. Now, I was going to ask him. He had to run, though, but I was going to ask him about, you know, forecasting your Red Wings and seeing maybe, you know, what they could be and how close they could be.
I know he wants a coach, right?
He's had a lot of interest in a lot of that stuff. He's done a lot of great stuff. I mean, he's tried to do a lot of things with grassroots, with hockey, moving it into places that are non-traditional, that normally you don't see hockey as a sport.
But who's Popeye Jones' son? We got to find
Seth
a couple
Jones.
More of them.
Yeah,
we got to find
really
a,
good defensive.
We got to find a couple of more of those. You know what I'm saying? You got to go
more
to the
those?
Hood. You got to go
What's
to
more
the,
those?
You got to go to the hood for that.
What do you mean?
Like dudes that's on the basketball court, some of the best athletes, and put them in these skates and let them say, "Hey, man, listen, hockey's what's up." You know, we respect hockey.
Listen, you have to be athletic to play this sport.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, but I'm just saying, Popeye, well, Seth, I would call him Popeye Jones' son, but I just like because Popeye is really one of the best names ever. That dude's like 6'12 on skates.
Yeah, Seth is a big kid. And well, he's not a kid anymore. He's been in the league a while, but he's really good. And he's you talk about get paid. He made his money.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like taking hockey into places because listen, hockey isn't the most cost efficient sport for people to join.
Who
so,
you tell?
So you need accessibility to be able to get people one the training.
It's
two,
it's real. My son
the
plays
equipment,
and it's extremely expensive when it comes to training, getting the ice to train, the equipment. Where to play, the best places to play, to get the right kind of coaching. This
sometimes,
is not.
A lot of times you got to move.
It's
like tennis. You got to move to certain. Some people move their kids.
It's true.
And trust them into people that they don't know.
Send them away,
so
and they have to live with other people.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's literally true. It is such a difficult sport to break into, and that's why it is also very difficult for it to be, you know, as something that everybody can be part of. You want everybody to play, but the reality is, it's very difficult if you want to, you know, be good. But I'll tell you this. If you have even a little bit of talent at a young age and you don't come from means, people will find a way to make sure that this kid's got something special. Mm. Let's make sure we bring him along.
Who knew? So, all the time. Y'all hear that in the hood? All along, man, you want to get them illegal envelopes. You can get them in hockey. They don't mind it. Mm. And you can fight if you get mad. You know what I'm saying?
That part is true. It is, but how do you feel about it? It is the one sport where you still can fight. Now, you're going to get a penalty, but that's like, oh, come on. I got to sit for 5 minutes, whatever it is, 10 minutes. Yeah.
I'm tired anyway. I just fought.
we're getting you to a game. You, me, Damian Woody, Islanders at UBS Arena when they open the building. We got to be there.
I'm going to see if Fedorov around. We can go hang out together.
Well, it's not really Fedorov. Like, Stevie Y is your guy, though, right?
Well, Stevie's busy.
Let's get Yzerman on.
Stevie's busy.
Well, but let's get him on the show. I think we can get him on the show. You got any clout?
Oh, come on.
In Detroit?
Stop it.
Well, come on.
Listen,
let's get him on. They're off to a good start.
My mama friend's the head of security. He'd be doing security for them. I can get Stevie Wild. I can get to anybody. What do you
like
mean?
It.
Come on,
I like
stop.
It. All right. You know what? 888-729-3776. Dan is in Missouri. He's got a Cowboys question. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Hey, I got a couple of comments real quick. First one. Dak isn't going to play on Sunday. I don't care what Jerry Jones says. Hey, he's coming along.
Now Jerry said, yeah, coming along. But Steven said we'll do what's right for Dak. So he did give you that little caveat of if it's not the right thing to do, let's not do it. I mean, they pretty much have that division in lock, right?
So if he's not quite ready, what?
I don't think they do because I went through the schedule last night and I got them finishing 10-7.
What?
So let me tell you something.
Who do you have
losing to? The Giants game, the Giants had half of their players out, and that game was still in doubt in the third quarter.
It's always that way with that team. But do you understand that they still have half their players out, right? Like they still have a lot of players out.
By the time they play again December 19th, they should be back home.
No, I mean, I'm going through the schedule. I mean,
I'm looking at it too. So wait, let's go. So Halloween at Vikings, and you don't start Dak.
That's a tough one. People sleeping on.
Well, at Minnesota's never an easy game.
They got Kirk Cousins. Like,
Sunday night, by
the way. You give me the games, and I'll tell you real quick.
All right, let's do it real quick now, real quick. So you're at Vikings Halloween night, Sunday night football, and you're not sure if Dak's playing. You're taking an L. All right.
Lost.
Home against the Broncos. Give me that one. That's a dub. Come on.
That's a win.
A
win.
Falcons. You're beating them. You're at home.
Win.
Chiefs,
win.
A mess.
Could not be a mess by that time.
The NFL is a week-to-week thing.
Man,
that's going to be a loss.
Zeke against that terrible running defense? Stop it. Come on. Take that win.
I don't know, but that defense against Mahomes, boy.
No, Mahomes, man. Mahomes is – hey.
Bart
knows. He's in the
NFL.
All
right,
NFL.
Going 2-2.
I mean,
so you got 2-2. You've got 2-2.
They're going to be desperate by the end.
2-2.
Okay, keep going.
Home against the Raiders.
Ooh, Raiders, man.
Really?
Carbon
push on that one.
Push? Well, you got to give me a win or a loss. It's 2-2. You're at home. Take the win.
Okay, win.
3-2. That's a Thanksgiving game,
but
too.
Carr doing his thing. This team looks liberated, man, by getting John.
I'm taking 3-2. All right, at Saints. Michael Thomas probably
lost.
Back by then. Oof.
Lost.
3-3. At Washington, stop. You're getting a dub there, all right?
Lost.
Why is that a loss?
Man, they ain't got no
–
Chris Pratt Trackage is back?
Dallas is – they're living on
– You got a lot of scar tissue
their defense is leaky. Their defense is leaky, and pretty soon Washington's defense is going to come around.
Well, Fitzpatrick is there. I want to see this unit with Fitzpatrick.
So he's giving me 4-4, and then you're at Giants on the 19th. Ooh. Then you play Washington again at home this time, day after Christmas.
Okay, the road game against the Giants is a loss.
4-5.
The home game against Washington is a win.
5-5. And then it's Cardinals at home. Who knows what?
Loss.
And then at Eagles, take the win. So 6-6 to finish the season. That's 11 wins.
Okay, you put 11, a lot of worst case scenarios.
11-6 instead of 10-7.
That gives you a division. There's nobody in your division that's going to get 11 wins, man.
Not even close.
Lock
yeah, but we're going to be the number 4 seed, and we're going to be playing
and
somebody
go to
like
the Cardinals.
LA.
You're going to go to the Cardinals.
Oh, Dan, I love you, man. I love it because you.
Hey, I got one. Hey, I got one more quick comment.
We
got
to run, but go ahead fast as you can.
Hello.
Fast as you can. We got to run fast. Hurry up.
Okay. Hey, Bart, the guy, that ball would have been worth $500,000. And if I'm sitting in the box, did you ever see Will Ferrell's movie where he's sitting on the couch going, Ma, meatloaf.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be up in the box saying, Giselle, I want a damn drink with extra cheese on my tacos.
Yeah. Some avocado ice cream.
Thank you, Dan.
Now!
Thank you, Dan. That was worth it. That was definitely worth it. All right, Spartan on Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Coming up, the Knicks can send a message to the NBA tonight. Mm-hmm. What do they need to do? We'll discuss that and why Cowboys fans are just beautiful. But first, Bart has this.
From Zip.
From Zip Recruiter.
Okay, let me, what do we have here? How great is it when you get to choose your favorite movie to watch? Well, ZipRecruiter Invite to Apply lets you pick your favorites from the best candidates. ZipRecruiter sends you qualified candidates, and you can easily invite your top choices to apply for your job. Lauren Webb, SVP of Talent Acquisitions of MyDoula Health, raves about ZipRecruiter Invite to Apply. She says, I love the feature because you have a much higher follow-through rate if you invite the candidates. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/BART to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BART. Dope! Back after this.
You hungry?
Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
TJ and Max.
Good morning. I listen to you guys every single morning.
Covering the biggest stories with the best guests and plenty of opinions.
I love listening to you guys. I love the banter. I love the conversation. There's life every single morning.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
So just so everybody knows, Bart has been down the rabbit hole of YouTube, finding that singer from The Fifth Element.
Yo.
And playing her song. You are right, though. That voice is an instrument. I mean, the stuff that she can do with her voice is just, it's not normal.
You know what I'm saying?
Like that's, and Bart very excited. Bart likes special. Don't make that.
I like special qualities, man.
That's creepy. It's Bart on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. So the Knicks really should have been 3-0. They were up 13 at one point against the Magic Sunday. They're at home. The building's popping. They were even up 9
they
at
played,
one
they
point.
Down.
And
they
then it's
down
like, yeah, you could just see it. Like, they just, like, give the Magic credit. They worked hard. They wanted to win the young team. The Knicks just kind of like were they said it after the game, like, man, we just gave this one away. And it was dumb, you know, but tonight they can't do that.
They got to play.
They got
up.
The Sixers tonight at the Garden, and I feel like it's a measuring stick game.
Can they play up to their competition?
Well, they
clearly
got to.
Played down, but do they have the capability when they're
great
excited
point.
And they know that a team's coming in that can embarrass them, that has had their number, can
great
they
point.
Come in, can they rise up? Is it levels to this Knicks team? Is it levels to Fournier and Kemba? Can he take them to new heights? That's what we want to see. Can they show up in the big games and be the difference? Can they open up the court for Randle and for R.J. Barrett to come slash? Can they have options when Doc Rivers takes away some of their options? Can they do what everybody else does to every Doc Rivers team? Puts them in pick and roll and they lose their damn mind.
Well, they have nobody that can guard in pick and roll, obviously. But they don't have, they're not as deep of a bench, either the Sixers. The Knicks got to take advantage of that. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you this. Between wins and losses, if the Knicks win this game versus if they lose this game, this is what I'm going to give you a power rankings.
Okay.
In the East, and I'm only going to go to 8. And I'm going to give you if they win and if they lose tonight. Mm-hmm. All right? If they win this game, the East power ranks like this, in my opinion. The Bucks, the Nets, the Heat. There's your top 3. Atlanta's your 4th. Talk about deep. That Hawks team is deep. They're not just Trae Young.
Seem like they Collins, got depth, seemed like Collins man. Dunk on somebody
everybody,
every week.
Right?
Like, do you see all the bodies that was carved just by Oops? Everybody got
He's
dunked on last night.
He's tagging everyone, right. Yeah, you had a couple of big dunks last night. Then I got the Sixers at 5. I got the Celtics because they got 2 stars. They're at 6. If the Knicks win this game, I got them at 7, and I got Charlotte at 8.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
All right?
Whoa, whoa,
now, let me finish. Let me finish, then you can jump all over this. That's my 8. Now, I'm missing Chicago. You're saying, wait, Chicago's 4-0. How do you not have them in the top 8? Because Chicago beat Detroit twice and Toronto. All right? I'm not crazy yet about Chicago, but here's how I'll flip it. If the Knicks lose this game tonight, my list stays the same, except at 7, I've got Charlotte, and at 8, I got the Bulls. The Knicks are not in the top 8 if they don't win this game.
But I think what you're missing is
simple
I think the
fact.
Knicks, I think, are deeper and better than Boston.
They are deeper than Boston, but they don't have the star.
They're committed
Jason
to
Tatum
defense.
Had a terrible game in the season opener. It still took 2 overtimes to beat them.
Yeah, that's because when he had the worst, that means Jaylen Brown. You know what I mean? Jaylen Brown had the best game of his life.
He did, but it's
so
only
he
one
made
guy.
Up, so he made up for the worst. So if they both play to what they play
I'm
to,
I'm not buying it, dude.
If one dude played his worst and the other dude played the
that's
best,
that's 2 games. You almost gave away one. That opener, you had it won and you gave it away with some bad plays down
they
the
better,
stretch against the Celtics and it forced a double overtime. And then you gave away a game to the Magic. That's 2 games one you almost gave away,
they're
and the
better.
One you did,
better
I don't like that. That's a bad trend.
They're better than Boston. They're just learning about each other and being put in certain situations. As Mitchell Robinson
then
gets
show
a little
me tonight,
bit healthier, they'll be ready for that Boston
well,
team. But the Boston team's been together. That's the core of who they've always
okay.
been.
But the best thing about power rankings is I could change it week to week, and right now that's what I'm doing. If they win the game tonight, I got them at 7, just above Charlotte. If they lose this game, I got them outside the 8 because I moved the Bulls into 8 and I moved Charlotte up to 7 because I like Charlotte. That's a good team, man.
I love Charlotte. They talk about depth.
And they played the Celtics.
Bridges,
that was a
Bridges,
game last
Bridges
night.
Bridges be catching bodies, but he caught a body because Jaylen Brown caught him.
Ooh,
yum! But he caught somebody
dunk,
else that
by
day.
By the way, was nasty.
Jokic got dunked on yesterday, too. I think it was from Chicago. No, it wasn't Chicago.
What do you think of my where I have the Knicks, my rankings right now? Like I said, I have them at 7 if they win tonight. I have them at 9 if they lose, and I move the Bulls up ahead of them. Do you agree or disagree? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Rankings reaction brought to you by Wendy's. Get a sausage or bacon, egg, and Swiss croissant. Yum. For $1.99 at Wendy's during breakfast hours only. Limited time. Price and participation may very. All right, that's what I have when it comes to that. Otherwise, I feel like this is a team that, just like we saw last year, they will have to get better as the year goes on. But you mentioned Kemba. I don't know what Kemba can be. Remember, he was traded away by Boston and then cut loose from Oklahoma City. So you signed him.
Mm-hmm.
You signed him as sort of a off the scrap heap.
Yeah.
That's what you did.
But
to expect that he's going to be classic All-Star Kemba from 2 years ago.
He don't have to be.
I don't think
he don't have to be.
But
because you have Derrick Rose, you have Quickly. You're going to keep his numbers down. You just need him to be great in spurts. You need to be able to break down
the starting
defense.
Lineup.
Yes, you need him to break down the defense, be able to facilitate and take some of the pressure off Julius Randle. Because when he's out there, he is a legitimate 3-point shooter. So you have him, Fournier, and then now.
But what
you
happens
have
when other teams attack
RJ
him defensively? What happens when other teams attack him defensively?
Well,
though?
That's what Mitchell Robinson.
Mitchell Robinson
is for. That's what he's back there. He's the eraser. Everybody got one fish. Everybody got one fish. Tell me one team that don't got a defensive fish.
Everybody does.
So you hide him and you protect
them. Maybe the Utah Jazz. They don't have a fish.
Well, you protect them, right? You protect them and that's it, right? But, you know.
I mean, there's certain.
Rudy Gobert becomes the fish when you go against one of these stretch fives that can take him out there and open up the lane and shoot him with the three.
Struggles against
that's
Jokic.
What I'm saying.
But I'll tell you what. You know what? I mean, you talk about a fish. The Nets have an aquarium right now. I mean, never mind a fish.
Yeah.
Everybody. Like, yeah. they get lit up.
Yeah,
they got to get that thing shored up again.
Amen.
And like last year, that became an issue. They got it right. They got it better, but still. You know, that is something that you have to keep
an eye on. I
wonder
what the effort is like right now, early in the season, as they're
trying
to fill it out.
That's what I was going to ask you that.
Because defensively,
when you're in a good team, are you sort of like, man, let me just ease my way in?
Yeah, they turned it in. They heard that they're favored to win a championship. They're like, I will figure it out. And I think the defensive intensity turns up when they play against teams that they fear offensively. And they haven't really faced teams they fear offensively, but they've been taking these L's because they've been overlooking their opponents.
All right, you know what? Chris Canty chimed in before. He's not happy. He said, I'm tired of y'all leaving me out of stuff. That he wants a damn invite to UBS Arena along with you, me.
So he can fake
Damian
care?
Woody.
Tell him he can't fake care.
Well, this is what I told him. I said, I thought you were a Rangers fan, and I can't have that in my building. His reply is this. My hockey fandom is up for grabs.
So
he wants to be recruited.
Is he willing?
I'm trying to recruit you.
Is he willing to come and join me with the green suit?
I don't want you to wear a green suit.
I want to be the green suit. I am going to heckle the hell out of the bench. Somebody's going to come over there and try and fight. Then when I take the mask off, they realize it's me. Oh, he can fight back. Like, yeah, buddy.
I hope the Islanders are hearing this. We're bringing
a
squad
green.
To
I'm
the
green.
Game.
I'm going to come with the green suit on. Like the green suit that
I know what you're talking about.
And
yeah.
I want Chris Canty, if he want to come, if he wants to be, you know, barring for it, then they'll give us whatever we want. Listen, we want the Islanders to give us everything. If we come there, we heckle, we get somebody from their place into the penalty box because they try and jump in the stands because I'm irritated. Listen, I am a master of agitation.
Yes, you are.
I can agitate the hell out of somebody. Somebody will respond.
The master of agitation, Bart Scott. That is definitely a t-shirt we need to get you. All right, we'll see, Chris. We'll see, Chris. Maybe you're part of that. It's up to the Islanders to decide. This would be 1,000 pounds of human beings showing up, by the way.
Yeah, Chris
I might be the lightest of the four.
Yeah, Chris is clearly listening, too. So, Chris, I need 4 tickets to the – he can get me tickets from both sides, from the Giants and the Cowboys fan. I owe somebody a favor.
All right. Well, we'll discuss that off the air. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN.
I thought we told the world all our business.
3776, and we will discuss with you what you think of my power rankings and – you know, of course, you've got – I do want to discuss that with you. What this game would mean tonight, early in the season for the Knicks, would you start to believe in them or not? All right, but right now I want to tell you that we want to hook up a lucky listener with $1,000 during tonight's baseball championship game. We got more to watch tonight, more to listen to. Enter to win, and this is all you got to do. So you listen to tonight's game, ESPN Radio. We got you game one. Top of the seventh inning, you got Dan Eduardo and Jessica, and they're going to announce a winning word. You text that word to 777-000, and you enter a chance to win $1,000, and you keep listening to all our ESPN Radio broadcasts of the baseball championship because the prizes get bigger as the series goes on. So you want this thing to go to distance, don't you? It grows $1,000 each game. So just do the math. By game seven, it's $7,000, baby. There's no purchase necessary. You can go to ESPNradio.com for complete sweepstakes rules. One more time, listen to game one tonight. Hear the winning word. Text 777-000 for the chance to win $1,000. Message and data, fees apply.
Close enough.
Yeah, I got it.
Meh.
That's creepy.
The NFL is on. G.J. And now, Max Kellerman.
When you have a problem with someone, you will find anything to turn it into a negative. And this is what is happening with Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys.
Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2. Bart and Han.
You wouldn't think it. But you'd have to hear the whole library to understand. Axl Rose is somebody that you could debate or argue into this list. And we did get a tweet about that, that Axl Rose has great range. And I think he does. And if this is, you hear this song, everybody knows Paradise City. Yeah. But if you heard him sing other things, you'd realize, like,
Yeah, just this think dude's the got rock. A voice. You don't man. Have to sing rock.
Yeah, but think the pitch that he's hitting in a lot of his songs, and then he can also bring it down in some other songs like Estranged, you know, that kind of an example of a song. So that's what we were doing. So Bart and I were just talking about this during the break. It's Bart and Hunt, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. All we were saying is this has been a thing throughout the show is how about this? We'll maybe play this game later on in the week. Give me an artist that you would say, I don't want you to sing your songs. I want to hear you sing this other famous artist's songs, and I think it would sound as good, if not better.
Yeah, I mean, we see that a lot.
Like Styles.
Well, Mary J. went and did everybody's stuff. She's not a natural singer, right? So how I do this measuring stick is by whenever they have like BET Award honors, this or that.
When they do tributes, right.
Tributes. You always go about who they ask to sing somebody else's song. Because remember, the legend is going to be in the building. So you can't be singing in the legend stuff and sound whack. They'd be looking like, yo, like y'all picked him like this. So like the people that they always use is Faith Evans. Fantasia, even though like she's not a great artist on her own, she kind of covers some of those soulful songs. Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's either Tank or Tyrese because their voices have, I think, the range to be able to sing different people's songs.
To hit the notes.
They got the swag. Yeah, you got to be able to hit certain notes.
Which is the most important part is be able to hit those notes. That's what matters most. All right, well, that's again, we have fun with the music conversation. Hey, the World Series is on ESPN Radio. Don't forget, Game 1 tonight of the World Series. Presented by AutoZone. Catch all the action tonight. 7 p.m. Eastern is when the coverage begins on ESPN Radio. And, of course, the ESPN app. Let's grab, you know what, Dan in Ithaca does want to discuss something about Josh Allen. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I just wondered why he's never in the conversation in the morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. He's never in the conversation with you guys about MVP.
Oh, we always talk about Josh Allen.
Dan, how,
Lamar,
I guess you don't.
Oh, no.
I guess you don't listen to our show that much, Dan.
Listen,
we talk always.
Allen talked about how he wanted the Jets to pick him and how he was watching Wyoming football.
I was.
And how he was the one that was self scouting and saying that. We talk about Josh Allen all the time.
And Bart loves Josh Allen. Yeah, no. Josh Allen and the Bills. You can't ignore them. I mean, they are the best team in the AFC right now. If you were really power ranking.
Tennessee kicked their ass.
But they are the best. Come on.
They're complete.
They are a complete team. They are on their way. And, Dan, I'm telling you.
We talk about
nobody
all the time,
here doesn't talk about.
You'll be missing the off days, man.
Yeah, you got to stay with us.
You got to listen every day,
Dan. We
start
at noon, man. Like, jeez. This is what I don't like. Like, how come you guys don't talk about this? But we do talk. We did talk about it.
Yes.
Tell me you don't listen without telling me you don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what that's about. So that really drives me crazy. I don't want to hear about that. Don't want to hear that. He is in the conversation, but is he at the very top of the list? I don't know. Not yet. But, man, I'll tell you what, Bart, there's still so much season left to go. And now Thursday, what we thought would be a great
game. Rise to the top, man.
Packers, Cardinals, no Devontae.
In a November.
Changes everything.
In a November, we will have a clear picture about who's for real and who's not for real.
Mm. Is there any names we've missed on this singer list, by the way? Anybody else? Somebody mentioned Karen Carpenter. She did have a great voice.
Okay.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah,
being
Lady
thrown
Gaga
out there
sing.
As well.
Yeah, she's like
keep
she's
at,
like,
keep hitting me up on at Alan Hahn on Twitter for this. This was a fun conversation, Bart. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.